السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرة المفتي عبد القادر صاحب دام بركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Tuesday morning, the 1st of July 2025. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant you an upper afiyat and good health. Allah تعالى accept the khidmat of deen and inshallah let's inspire the ummah through Markaz Sahaba about the azmat of the Sahaba al-Kiram the rest of our lives. آمين يا رب العالمين. حضرت مفتساب
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 5th of Muharram 1447. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 49 Surah Hujurat and verses number 12 and 13. As we mentioned yesterday, that the ulama have called this particular surah, chapter 49, Surah Hujurat, which comprises 18 verses, Suratul Akhlaq. It has to do with our manners, our character, our morals. And see, each one of us are guilty to a certain extent regarding these issues. So chapter 49 and verse number 12. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ay iman walo, O you who believe, O you who attain faith. 89 different places Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned this. Ala sabilil ikram wa takreem, to elevate our rank and status. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is motivating us, inspiring us, that you must do this or you must abstain from that and so forth and so on. So يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ, that you must abstain. اجْتَنِبُوا means you must abstain. It's compulsory for you to abstain. يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ, from abundant suspicion. And you know, from abundant assumptions and so forth. So just take 2-3 easy examples. Something goes missing in our house, we, because of the apartheid of the past, that white is right and the west is the best, straight away we will say the maid stole. Because she's African, so she stole. That is common. Let us be honest about these issues. 80-90% we don't have any evidence, but we will blame her already. I chori kiri. Say she stole, you see. There is business there, we are partners, now something is missing in the shop, in the factory, straight away we will blame the staff, we will never blame our son, we will never blame our family members. Sometimes we think that they are angels, and then when we make proper investigation, our own family members are guilty. Third one, husband-wife relationship. So now the husband, he will blame the wife so many a time, you did this, you did this. But he is the one who's not prepared to show his phone to his wife. He will take his phone to the toilet also. Why? Because he's got all the cherries. You know, today one car's name also is Cherry. And there, Wimbledon, they want to eat strawberries and cherries. You know, all these haramis put together. So we must remember that. So then that marriage ends up in divorce. Why? Because of suspicion and doubt, and sometimes without evidence and without any proof. So therefore Allah is saying, stay away from this. This doubt and suspicion and assumption without evidence, not acceptable. Authentic hadith, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif and in Musnad Ahmad and various compilations, Iyakum wa dhanna, abstain, O Ummah, from the suspicion and jumping to conclusions and assumptions. Fa inna dhanna akdhabul hadith, the suspicion is one of the biggest liars. It will destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your family also. People are crazy sometimes. Inna ba'da dhan, see the Quran usloob, the methodology of Quran, Kalamullah, the direct speech of Almighty Allah. Allah said, Kathiram min adhwan, you, me, and you must stay away from the abundant suspicion without evidence and proof. And then Allah says, Inna ba'da adhwanni, verily some of the suspicion and the assumptions, ithmun is sinful. You see how careful? That first was kathir and then is ba'd. Some of the suspicion is sinful because you don't have evidence, just casting aspersions and doubt on this person, that person is mun. Wala tajassasu, and don't go and spy. Mother-in-law, what you want to poke your nose into your daughter-in-law's room? Go and see that what she's doing, which kind of underwear she's wearing, what new dress she bought. What you have to poke your nose there? You don't have to go and spy on anybody unless they are violating the Sharia. So then you spy in the sense, you make investigation. Is this really halal as they are claiming and so forth or not? So that is not only necessary, it's compulsory for us to do that. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send the Sahaba like Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, that go and do some intelligence, go and do some spying and bring of that information to me. And then the Master alayhi salatu salam praised him. So that is the real intelligence, not what the jutlas and haramis and the swines and the pigs are doing. Any person who's a Palestinian, shoot and kill, and then we'll ask questions. So therefore, they are the cursed nation, the scum of this earth. Remember that. Quran says in chapter 5, verse number 60, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ, Allah made them into monkeys, and Allah made them into swines and pigs. And that's what they are. You can see their qualities today as well. So the spying without justification, not permissible. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, this is our favorite hobby, this is our favorite pastime. Pajra gal ta karu, haro pajra gal karu. Come in Memon, we say, come on, let's speak now. And then the ghibat will start. Mal ghibatu ya Rasulallah, what is the definition of ghibat, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Zikruka akhaka bima yakra. You speak something bad of your brother, sister, in the absence of that person. If he was there, then he should have felt very, very hurt. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, but we're saying ABC, XYZ is very stingy, is a very, very coward person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is ghibat, when that quality is in him. If that quality is not in him, and then you made that allegation, accusation, faqad bahattahu, then you have slandered him, which is worse than ghibat. Now, how many of us be honest about it? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, the genius and the giant, used to wear a ring. And on that ring was what? Engraved, jirmuhu saghir, wa jurmuhu kabir. The size of the tongue is small, but the crime it commits is very big. I'm guilty, you guilty, 99% of us are guilty. 1%, 2% you can exclude. Otherwise you must remember. But when we study ahadith, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, one of his greatest teachers, Wali Ali ibn al-Madini, he says, met my teachers, there's one person who used to be a ocean, huwa bahrun wa ana nahrun, like, you know what like that he used. He was an ocean of knowledge, and I was that small little river or stream and so forth. The same Ali ibn al-Madini used to say, that when you study the Rijal, the Nisa, the reporters of Hadith, Ilm al-Rijali nisfu ilm al-Hadith. Today, 90% of our Darul Ulooms, South Africa, India, Pakistan, the Arab world, they have neglected this. You must remember this. That studying the reporters, the life of the reporters and the narrators of Hadith, that the Orientalist Montgomery Watt, W-A-T-T, writes in formative period his book, that you Muslims are the only people on the face of this earth. You have the signs of Sanad and the signs of chain of transmission and reporters. 500,000 people profiles you have. The Bible, you look at it, there's Mark and Luke and John, and not one of them met Jesus. So therefore, you have so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins get confused and they blow their fuses. So we have this, but we don't study it. So remember that when each Rawi reported, they say, Huwa Kazabun, he's a big liar, Huwa Dajjalun. So to protect the deen of Islam, then remember that you use words like that, 100% permissible. So we should understand that will not be considered ghibat. You ask me that this person approach you and wants to do a joint venture with you in business. I tell you, stay far away from him. And I tell you that his track record is not good. So that is not ghibat. I'm protecting you from the evil of somebody else. But the information must be correct. So we should understand these things here. Now, to speak about ghibat, Allah Ta'ala tells us what are we involved in. You know Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, he says, the day I knew that ghibat, backbiting, gossiping, skunnering, an Afrikaans on skunner. So all that is skunner as haram, ne? Yeah, munifani kukstisters dunk ni. So you must remember that. So all this gossiping and panchat and all these things that we do, remember, is absolutely haram and we should stay away. He says, Allah will never question me about ghibat because I stayed away from it completely, absolutely. Ayuhibbu ahadukum, what will any one of you love? Ayyakula lahma akhi, that he eats the flesh of his brother who's dead. Maiten, the brother is dead and now you go eat it, you must remember that cannibalism and so forth, fakarih to move, hence you will hate it, despise it and detest it. Wattaqullah, fear Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Inna Allah Tawwabur Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is oft accepting of the Tawbah, Tawwab, for Allah means to accept the Tawbah and repentance, and Rahim, very merciful. This is the big problem in humanity today. You look at Trump, you look at the Jutlas, you look at Europe. Ya ayyuhannas, O humankind, inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa. See Allah using the royal pronoun, the plural, to stamp his majesty, authority, sovereignty. Only we can do this. All your scientists, professors, doctors and governments, none of them can do that. Inna, verily we, khalaqnakum, we created you. Min zakari wa unsa, from one male and one female, Adam and Eve, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, and Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha. Your father was a monkey and chimpanzee and a gorilla. In Darwin theory, we reject it with the contempt it deserves. Yes, the Jews were made into monkeys and swines and pigs. So not we came from them, but they were made into that. As a punishment, Almighty Allah mentioned in chapter 5, verse number 60. Then after that, how did we multiply? وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And then we made you into various nations and various tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا. So you recognize one another. You look at the Chinese features. You look at the Africans' features. You look at the Indians' features. You look at the American. Everybody, 8 billion. Everyone is different. Kudrat ka karishma. The manifestation of the power of Almighty Allah. What we did, we said, وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَفَاخَرُوا, that we will use this. My language is better than yours. My complexion is better than yours. My garm and my village is better than yours. So we did it for fakhr and for pride. That is jahiliyyah and got no place in Islam. But Allah, what is the criteria? You can be Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle and you go straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. You can be so fair in complexion like Abu Lahab, Abdul Uzza was his name. He, his wife, all dispatched to Jahannam. And you can be dark in complexion like Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu an, and then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him the honor, O Bilal. You stand on top of the Kaaba Musharrafa and render the Adhan. Let the world know what Islam does. Remember that. You see, on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, Saturday 21st of Ramadan, the 8th year after the Hijrah, my beloved Ustad Sheikh Umar Falata from Nigeria, 49 years he taught Hadith Sharif in Masjid Nabawi. The 20 years I studied by him, he was teaching Hadith where Imam Malik used to teach, where right inside Riyadhul Jannah. Before the lesson would start, then we would kiss his hand or kiss his forehead. I told one South African, that's my honorable Ustad, he said, they're ducky. So I just cried and went away. What can you tell, so-called Muslim? We just judge people by the complexion. We just judge people with the language. All this stems from jahiliya and ignorance. It has no place. Even the Arabic language has no virtue if that person has no iman and Islam. Go to Lebanon. Half the population plus minus are Christian. Their mother tongue is Arabic. What virtue is for them? So nothing. So we must be clear. Arabic language will have virtue when we have iman and Islam and we die on that. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily, the most noble of you by Allah Jalla Wala is the one who has real taqwa. Me and you, we are sanctimonious. We have a double identity. In khalwa, privacy with somebody else. In jalwa, in the public, with somebody else. So that is not Islam. Islam is taqwa. Through piety, Allah consciousness, all times, all places, all circumstances. Inna Allah alimun khabir. Verily, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge, all embracing, all encompassing. Khabir, He's all aware. O Muslim, O human being, what you do in your private life, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, which jayri you are tuning up on the chat line, which prostitute you are talking to at that time. So all that is known to Almighty Allah. Allah Jalla Wala protect us min al fitan ma zahra minha wa ma batan, from all types of fitnas, disasters and calamities. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today the 5th of Muharram 1447, the news, views, interviews locally, nationally, internationally. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Our Hamas sent 3 jutlas, that's minimum, straight to hell. We say Ameen, be very happy about it. 130 organizations, humanitarian organizations, came together and they reached consensus and they condemn Israel, the apartheid terrorist regime, and they condemn America, the super terrorist, and said that the story of your people's so-called giving of humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza, you invite them and then you shoot to kill and so forth, must be shut down immediately. They humiliated again on the world scene, and every one of us must say death to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, if you got iman. If you're a munafiq and hypocrite, Allah give you guidance. So if you're a Saudi and you belong to the Emirates and all these governments, and that we don't even consider them to be Muslim. So we're speaking of Muslims. You must say loudly, like I'm saying now, death to the IDF. You put bullets into a 6-year-old girl, 335 bullets into my daughter, Hinda Rajab. But the ummah forgets, you see. They remember all the tennis and soccer and cricket and haramis, they will remember. The real people, we don't remember. And so they are the biggest terrorists and haramis, America and Israel. IDF, in the past 24, 28 hours, they have murdered and martyred approximately 100 Palestinians there by the cafe and there right by the seaside, by the beach, there in Gaza. They shot 20 people dead straight away. All civilians, women, children, men, and so forth. Bibi and Trump, both haramis, al-khabithatul al-khabithin, will meet on Monday next week in the White House. And remember what you're going to meet. Both of you are war criminals. 5 times the United Nations, the world wanted ceasefire, and you, America, vetoed it. Nobody can deny that. And Bob Dylan, you see, the guy who had that song festival, music festival, we know music is haram. But he did a good job. Inna Allah la yu'ayidu hadha deen bi rajulil fajir. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala uses non-Muslims to help the deen of Islam. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So he said, death to the Israeli Defense Force. Free Palestina from the river to the sea. So what happens? So now the American regime, the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, and their clients, you must remember, so America say his visa is revoked, he can't enter, so go to hell. So you know what happened? 20,000 minimum people joined him more, and it will go to 100,000. You did the right thing, Bob Dylan, you see that? Norway, if you know anything, we visited Norway, Oslo, and all these places with Allah's help. So you must remember, they have one of the biggest trade unions and very powerful, almost 1 million people. They said, these trade unions, we're going to cut off ties with Israel. We won't pick up their stuff, we won't deliver their stuff, we won't do nothing. A big blow to Israel and America, both apartheid regimes, and both of them terrorist regime. 4 million people starving, on the verge of starving in Sudan. Why? Because of United Arab Emirates sponsoring the enemies, and because of America, they're jealous because of Russia and so forth. Putin is the right man for them. We say, you talk too much, I'll open the nuclear, you see. So that you have to do. Talk tough with these guys. Come like a bichara and like a khadim and like a worker, give them trillion dollars. Hang your heads in shame, you haramis and murtads. Ben Gvir and his hooligans, that are the settlers. He say, burn the homes of the Palestinians, burn their cars, shoot to kill. He and Smotrich, they say, they want to cleanse Gaza up like that. If it was anybody else, long time they should have been sanctioned, called terrorists and that. But they Jutlas, they are Jews, they are Zionists. We must treat them with kid gloves. You haramis, whiteys, you want to come teach us about apartheid? We know apartheid the day we were born. Don't come talk nonsense here with us. A lady has been raped in Bangladesh. It's become a big story because why? It's becoming their favorite pastime. If you know anything of Bangladesh, the brothels there are one of the biggest brothels in the whole of Asia. So sometimes you wonder with our so-called Muslim countries, you know, why so many calamities? But when you go behind the curtain, you will find some crazy, crazy things going on. US says no more sanctions on Syria. You see that? So they got a Julani, Jewlani. That's how I spell it. So Julani is not a murtad and harami, remember that. So he's falling in the trap. So Trump and them told him, okay, all the sanctions removed. So now we will reconstruct. You bomb it and then you want to come like a good guy and say you're going to reconstruct it. Then they're going to draw him into the Abrahamic Accord. Any person who accepts the Abrahamic Accord, straight away he's murtad out of the fold of Islam. And then the Golan Heights, that also he might just give it to Israel and so forth. So what good he is. If somebody puts a bullet to him, we will say, Alhamdulillah. See, I tell you, that you know this guy, that his name is Zohran Mamdani. He's a Shia, but in the world he's Muslim, right? So Trump says if he wins and becomes the mayor of New York, we will cut the federal funds to New York. Can you believe that? So Trump is 100% anti-Islam, anti-Muslim, and therefore we're going to humiliate him even further, and Allah is humiliating him. So we also must appeal and humiliate him further. And 50,000 people evacuated in Turkey because the fire is still raging on, and this is where the tourists flock to, so be very careful where you are going. Some Jutlas, you see, they want to ban the Haaretz newspaper. They say AK every day speaks of Haaretz. Haaretz is making it so famous, you see. So we better ban it. But they failed in that, you see. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ They plot and plan, and Allah has his master plan. 3 women arrested in Riyadh for prostitution. You see that? So now you must ask the royal family, MBS and his cronies, the Ali Saud, how many of you are guilty of prostitution? When you go there to London, New York, and everywhere else, France and there, aren't you busy with the prostitutes there? So they carry on like holy, holy day inside the kingdom. But outside, go read their life. Majority of them are haramis. Allahumma ahlik ala Saud, kama ahlakta adaw wa Thamud. And then Trump's bill will be sorted out, he say, by July 4th, this week, Friday, it must be done and dusted. So what? He's giving them such a big bill. The big, big millionaires, billionaires will benefit. and the poor people will be disadvantaged again regarding their health care and so forth and so on. That is Trump. Remember that he worships money, the harami and the war criminal. Pro-Palestinian protesters at Wimbledon. They say some people are sponsoring Wimbledon, the tennis there, and they are 100% supporting Israel and the genocide and the ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians. So yes, very good. Anybody does something for Palestine, we will support them. Three people arrested in Turkey. They made a cartoon. They say the cartoon, Allah for, they call satire. So they made two. One, Allah forbid, naqali kufr, kufr nabashid, is like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other one is Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And missiles flying in different directions, you see. So thus, so they arrested them. You should hang them, Tayyip Erdogan. Make them a sample, an example, when they make a mockery of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna shani'aka wal abtar, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who hate you and your message, Allah will crush them. Remember chapter 108. Verse number 3, you all know that surah, Inna Atayna. Russian journalists are being arrested there in Azerbaijan. So there's big taraus, ructions, tension, conflict going on between Russia and Azerbaijan. Elon Musk, born in South Africa, billionaire now, is attacking Trump and his new bull. Bull, you see, that what he put to the Congress and to those guys, they must vote and so forth. Let's come to our beloved country, Viva South Africa, Zindabad. You know, South Africa is the best country to live in, let me tell you that. So the DA wants to have a vote of no confidence against Cyril. I never voted ever in my life for ANC or DA or EFF and all these characters. Remember that. Wallahi, Allah is my witness. But if I have to make a choice, if hypothetically between ANC and DA, I'll say we're better off with ANC despite all the cronyism and theft and corruption compared to DA. DA haramis, they support Israel, they support the genocide, they call us people who are Gentiles. And remember, therefore, for a Muslim to vote for DA, I told you many times, that is, our fatwa is absolutely haram, it's not permissible. So they can't have that vote of confidence and be, you understand, victorious, because there's too many people will vote for Cyril and so forth. The DA is taking Nakabani to court today, the Minister of Higher Education, incompetent, hopeless, useless, like majority of them. Petrol price will increase from tomorrow, you see that? So better go and fill up your tanks today. So petrol today is going up, they're expecting it to go up by approximately 50 cents a liter, but it will go up. You know how it is today. South Africa, you see no water some places, no power, no energy some places, big, big strikes in Soweto, the people are fed up. Every day the electricity is cut off. That is ANC's legacy, remember that. They can't do the power right, they can't get the water right. Yeah, Johannesburg, the hub of South Africa's economy. So now they're going to have 50 hours a week or whatever, no water or no electricity and so forth and so on. Hopeless, useless, you ANC. I will even feel ashamed to shake your hand. You know, if Cyril comes here, I'll never shake his hand. I'll feel ashamed, you must remember that. And for their ministers as well. Waste of time they are. What took South Africa 300 years to build, they finished it up in 30 years. That's what the ANC did. You must be an idiot if you can't see that. You must remember that. So anyway, we're not condoning apartheid. Apartheid was a crime, and we all know. You don't have to teach us what is apartheid. So we know what is apartheid, and the Boer, what they're knee blankers and non-whites and all that. We know all those things. It is a crime, but you also committing a crime, very big crime. So for today's program, 8:30 to 9, Mufti Hassan from Pakistan is originally American. Listen to him. And Mona Zahid, Mona Zahid's mother-in-law passed away yesterday. So Allah granted Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. And then 11 to 12 is Bliss of Marriage. 1 to 2 is Tafsir of the Noble Quran. Our program for Durban will start tomorrow, insha'Allah al-Aziz. We will explain to you tomorrow, insha'Allah. Ji Mona Salim, we have 13, 14 minutes. Let's fire up, insha'Allah.
Mufti Sahab, this year we performed Hajj. We spent Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifa and made our ibadat, but we're not sure whether we were in the boundary of Muzdalifa. Is our Hajj Qubool or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding that question, let me tell you about 15, 18 years ago, I went personally to the Riasatul Haramain Sharifain, the head of both the harams, and on Channel Islam's letterhead, we typed the letter, everything very nice and so forth. And in there, I raised three concerns. I said that how the hell can you have urinals that the men must stand and urinate in Mina, Arafat, and those places and so forth. So that was a reality until today. It's like that also some places there. In our holy places, they got urinals and so forth. A shame and a disgrace for the Wahhabis and Najdis and Saudis. This is 15, 18 years ago. So that when I was with CII, so you must remember that. And I went right to the office, right, one. Two, I said, you all say that you're making so much khidmat of the Hujjaj and that. But in Muzdalifah, if you look at the boards there, you can't even see it daytime properly. How the people going to see it at nighttime? Because Quran says, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْرِحِ حَرَامٍ. Until today is like that. You're not 100% sure in most cases whether you're really inside Muzdalifah or not. And third one, I said, look at the tawaf. The men and women are just bumping into one another. You got so many police, you got army. Easily you can just put them there and the men one side, women one side. But they don't want to do this. They want more and more chaos and more corruption to go on and so forth. These are Najdis, Wahhabis. This is 15, 18 years ago. Once the Saudi embassy in Pretoria contacted CII and tell that AK must keep quiet. He said, this is 15, 10 years ago it was, you understood? They said that when I'm speaking too much against them and their moon issue and so forth. So it's not we are against the Saudis only from today. When I was there in Makkah, Mina, I used to speak against them. You must remember their urinals issues and this Muzdalifah and so forth and so on. But now I criticize them more because now they've gone into kufr. That where they are bikini beaches and all that there in Jeddah, with their cinemas there in Makkah, Medina, with their big, big musical extravaganzas in Jeddah and Riyadh, so and locking up the ulama and the great people. So because they speak the truth, so when things happen worse, we have to speak more. So we can't be keeping quiet. So your hajj is done, and if something went wrong, the sin is on them, the Saudis, how they cooked up the calendar and so forth. So therefore, your hajj is done. You don't have to worry about it, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, can a lady experiencing haze enter Masjid al-Aqsa compound, or is the entire area of the compound considered a masjid?
Remember from the Haramain Sharifain, from Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, we go to Aqsa with Allah's help. We've been there 5 times. So the entire complex, the entire compound, as you say, 36 acres, is all part of Aqsa. Not only the building and structure. So you ladies in menses, remember, you can't enter Masjidul Haram, Makkah Mukarramah. You can't enter Masjidul Nabawi. You can't enter Masjidul Aqsa. You can't enter Masjid Quba or any masjid in the world for that matter when you are in your napaki, your menses and your haiz. And the biggest dalil and evidence for that is in the 10th year of the Hijrah, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina Munawwara on the 25th of Zulqa'dah. And it was a Saturday. That night they spent there in Zul Hulayfa, Bir Ali, Abar Ali. And then that Sunday they fastened Ihram. And when they reached the place Sarif, and that is just 30 kilos or so out of Makkah, Mother Aisha Siddiqa, it was when the 4th of Zulhijjah. So remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba were entering Makkah. Her napaki menses started. Hajj is starting Thursday. The going Mina, Arafat is Friday. So now she says, what must I do, Ya Rasulullah? I'm still in my menses. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that you do everything what the Hajis do. Illa Allah tatufi bil bayt, you don't perform baytullah, you don't perform tawaf day by the baytullah. So authentic hadith, open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Mustad Hakim, so many hadith kitabs have it. So therefore we say for ladies to enter any masjid in the state of menses is haram. So you can't enter into the compound and complex of Masjidul Aqsa when you are in your napaki, absolutely haram and not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, I want to know, when a woman's husband passes away and her father-in-law is still alive, then is he still her mahram?
You see, our people are very, very simple, you know, naive. That they don't understand the mahram issue. When you say you are a mahram forever. Not only one day or one month or one year and so forth and so on. Let me give you examples from the Quran Sharif. Chapter 4, verse 23. You know that this is the last verse of the fourth supara, the fourth Jews. And there Allah Ta'ala says, wa ummahatu nisaikum, and your wife's mother. Right? So my mother-in-law stayed here with us. And we took her for Hajj. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. She passed away, yeah? I'm just giving example now. ABC person is married. Then his wife passes away, right? Before his mother-in-law. So you, the son-in-law, what is your status with your mother-in-law vis-a-vis to your mother-in-law? So you will still be mahram for her because forever you mahram to her. Allah forbid you, the husband, you divorce your wife. Allah forbid. So now you and your wife finish. Now there's no talking, speaking, all that. You gave 3 talaqs, Allah forbid. But you and your mother-in-law, that or ex-mother-in-law, whatever you want to say, so remember, you're still mahram for her. You can talk to her, kala, kemcho, haruche, under the armche, all that. You can still do that. You see that? So that is Quran, chapter 4, verse number 23. That is son-in-law vis-a-vis mother-in-law. That is the relationship between son-in-law, mother-in-law, right? But it is a scope for fitna, then obviously it's a different issue then. Then we go the other way around. So you must remember the daughter-in-law with the father-in-law. You see that? So go open Surah Nur, chapter 24 and verse 31. O aba'inna, O aba'ibu'ulatihinna. So you, O lady, in front of your father, you can expose your beauty, your hair can be open, your face can be open, your arms can be open, all that you must remember. It's your biological father. O aba'ibu'ulatihinna, O your father-in-law. But today, some of the father-in-law, they are old, they're old, but not cold. So then, and you know he got evil intention, the way he looks at you with his eyes and all that, then you can't do all that. But the law is that. So he will remain your mahram forever. Your husband passes away before the father-in-law. So remember, your father-in-law is still your mahram. So that is the law of Islam.
Mufti Sahab would like to know, if a person goes for Umrah, must they inform families or it must be kept a secret?
Why you want to keep it secret? Yesterday, one Maulana, while I was doing Q&A, 9 o'clock, Azan was going, I quickly phoned him. I can take his name also. Maulana Ahmed Tokrat, you see, he's going for Umrah. So we do Nasiha. So I told him, Maulana, mashallah, you're going, make dua for us, does that, and quickly. So there's no need to keep secret. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, anhu, is going for Umrah. And now he comes to the master, alayhi salatu salam, Ya Rasulallah, I want to go for Umrah, give me permission. The master, alayhi salam, said, very good. La tansana fi da'watik ya ukhayyah. If you study all the ahadith, you will find this in Ibn Majah, you will find this in Mishkat, in Mustan Ahmad. Oh, my beloved brother, don't forget me in your du'as. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guaranteed Jannah and Paradise. But to set the precedent for humanity and posterity. So you tell people you're going for Umrah, you're going to Diyar-e Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Medina Munawwara. You request their du'as, you request they give you salams, you request we must die in Medina Munawwara and pass away there. So all that there. And you, the Mu'tamir, you're going for Umrah now. Then in some cases it's wajib and compulsory upon you to inform people. You are not speaking to your brother, your family member, your neighbor for 6 months, 1 year. So what good is your Umrah and your ziyarah to Medina or ziyarah to Aqsa? Nothing is accepted. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, open Mishkat Sharif, utrukhuma hatta yastaliha. These two parties leave their good deeds and righteous actions in abeyance one side hatta yastaliha, till they reconcile. That to make salam and reconcile is a prerequisite for the acceptance of our righteous actions and deeds. So therefore, there's no need to keep it secret. You're not committing a crime or something. So ask people to make dua for you, and we ask you to make dua for us. And more so, you must contact those people with whom you have severed ties with them for months and years. That's compulsory.
Mufti Saab, if a woman gets divorced and has two kids, the husband does not support them at all. If she wants to remarry, does the new husband have to take responsibility of the two kids also? Are they not his responsibility?
That question, you must just add one word. She was married, this lady, then that husband gave her talaq, right? Three talaq, whatever. And now, remember her ex-husband, we must say. The ex-husband was not really worried about the maintenance and the education or the maintenance and nafaka and food and all that of these children, the two sons or two daughters or one son, one daughter, whatever it might be. So now, after the iddat expires, she gets married to husband number two. Is the husband responsible for those children? No, he got nothing to do with them. It is his responsibility, the biological father. This person here is a stepfather, he married you. Yes, your expenses he is responsible for. But the stepchildren were samkhakom, you understand, were just came. Mera, tera, apna. You came with your children, I got my children, then we'll make our children. So your children that came from your previous husband, is not his responsibility. You got nothing to do with them. So you must take him, your ex-husband, to court. And he must pay, you must remember, for the children and so forth. They got car, and they got cell phone, and they got TV, and they got internet, but they haven't got time to pay, you must remember. One day I went, I just give you a quick story. One day I went, you understand, to an embassy. I won't tell you which embassy, but in Europe. So I went to the embassy, and there was a lady there. And she had there, you understand, her label. And I knew that family very well. So I asked her, that, how is that person connected to you? You understand? She said, this. I said, right. So today, how many people remember they divorce and so forth or whatever? They do haram dandas and what you, and the baby is born, and then they don't worry about anything and so forth. So we can do wrong and ask Toba and change the situation. I'm not saying you must do wrong, but when we do wrong, so try and rectify the situation. The children are there, you just leave them in their kufr. Bring them into Islam. At least that's the minimum you can try and do and so forth and so on. So people just make children and dump them, don't worry about them. That's a major, major sin. And you, the father, ex-husband, remember that you are guilty of a major, major sin. Allah guide us all. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.